Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins. I work for Fairway Markets in the New York area, and we're awfully proud to support Heritage Radio, and we care so much about everything that goes on out here at Roberta's in their studio, because they talk to people who are serious about food, and that's what we are at Fairway, is we're serious about food. We just care very deeply about you as a customer, and how you cook and what you cook with and how you entertain, and that's why we love to support Heritage Radio, because it's pretty much the same thing. It's wanting to find happiness through serious food and people who are serious about it and care about learning everything there is to learn about it. And that's we're kindred spirits. If it's something worth having in your kitchen, you're going to find it at Fairway. And if there's somebody worth talking to about food, you're going to find them on Heritage Radio, and we will be supporting you guys for a long, long time. At Fairway, I'm your personal grocer, Steve Jenkins, Fairway Market.
We talk about food. Talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Gentlemen, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Finger on the Pulse, Tay Diabolik. I'm staying at the bearded and bespectacled and bewildered.
I think you're more bearded than I am. DJ Never Forget here. It's good to, we're happy, we're CM Jang this week.
We are CM Jang.
Which means that we were out late already, and if the show runs a little slow, it's because we were out doing karaoke until 4 and then up early to do this and just getting right back into it. I don't even think I'm going to go home. I think I'm out, and I think I'll be home at 5 a.m. And I think we'll see if I stick to that plan.
Well, one of us has to be responsible and get our gear for tonight.
That song you just heard was by Surfer Blood.
Fast Jabroni.
And they will be live in studio today. They're actually, we're staring at them through the Roberta's back in the backyard. And they're eating delicious Roberta's pizza. But first up, we have our food guests, as we always do. The guys from the Noble Rot. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Johnny, Brian, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. My apologies.
Those are the guitars that...
The horse. We'll leave the horse outside.
Oh, the wine is already flowing. Anyway, Brian, Johnny, why don't you introduce yourselves and your respective positions in the Noble Rot?
Sure. I'm Johnny Cigar. I'm a self-appointed master sommelier.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Brian Quinn, a absolute gentleman, state certified.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. New York State certified.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Not Delaware, as we learned the hard way last weekend. So, for all of those who don't know the Noble Rot, why don't you explain to us what it is? I know a lot of people know about underground supper clubs, but this is a bit of riff on that.
Yeah, we... Brian and I have been involved and been around the supper club scene, and we thoroughly enjoy it. We often get asked to come and pair wines for people's dinners, and that's always a great time. We enjoy doing that. However, the focus has always been on the food and what's going on in the food scene there. So we thought, let's come up with something that just strictly focuses on wine. And so that's kind of where the Noble Rot came. I had a bit of an issue that needed what Brian referred to as legitimizing.
Right. We wanted to make sure that if Johnny was drinking all the time, we could at least have other people around and charge money for it.
Yeah, so they'll pay for the drinks that I end up drinking.
Right. So. I mean, isn't that way all we do what we do? Someone else is paying for the party, right?
That's the idea.
Right. So wine, as we've had other sommeliers and people involved in the beverage industry on the show, is a tough topic. People think wine and they get scared. So how are you guys doing to make people less scared of wine?
Yeah, I think, obviously the cocktail thing is very huge right now. Everyone's going out there and it's like Coke in the 80s. It's cocktails in the 2000s or something. It's.
I actually believe that's the first time I've ever heard that metaphor used to describe the current cocktail phase.
I don't know. It's something popular.
Welcome to our talking points.
Right.
So there's like floating dark and stormies off the coast of Miami, right?
Right. Yeah. But I think wine, yeah, you're right. It is so vast. It's so hard to kind of get your hands on, like, what do I like? Even if I find a bottle I like, you get the next bottle and maybe it doesn't taste the same. You know, how do you get people really interested and curious and just constantly exploring?
And the answer to that is confidence. We want to instill confidence in people and sort of say, look, you come to an event of ours and we look at us. We don't know anything about wine, but we love to talk about wine. We love to drink wine. I mean, we know something about wine,
right? Yeah. You know a little bit something.
A little something. About wine.
You're sitting in those chairs, aren't you?
But we definitely don't. We want to make it less of this highbrow experience. We definitely want to make it more accessible, and that's why, you know, our events are pretty much open to most people. It's even though it's underground, right. You're not going to necessarily it would be counterintuitive to have super hard to get into events that are supposed to make wine more accessible. So
what are some of the, you know, early tips you give people to gain confidence in wine?
Most importantly, I think is for people to just think about what they like. I mean, think about beer. I think if you ask anybody, well, what kind of beer you like? Most of the time, people can say, oh, I like this beer. I don't like that beer. And it's the same with food. I don't like pepperoni on my pizza. I like cheese. I don't like goat cheese. I like cow's milk cheese. Everyone sort of knows what they like. When it comes to wine, for some reason, that becomes it becomes an obstacle. And it's just because how often do you taste wine? So we really encourage people to taste and think about what they're tasting and have that sort of dictate to them, well, you know, I like the mouthfeel of this wine, or this is a fruity wine, I like that, or this is a big California cab that's kind of oaky and vanilla. You know what? I like that. Get awesome. People thinking about it.
All right, so we're going to play some songs, and then we'll come back, we'll talk about events, and we'll get into the wine that you brought with us, and this next one goes out to you. It's favorite little ditty of mine. It's Murder City Devils, I Drink the Wine. It's in the Snacky Tunes, Heritage Radio Network. Big shout out to Roberta's and our sponsor today, Fairway, Jack and Zee,
Rec Tech.
CMJ Week, day two. Here we go. right, welcome back to Snacky Tunes. That was just Murder City Devils. I drink the wine in honor of our guests, Johnny and Brian from Noble Rat. Gentlemen, you're looking fantastic in those
Yeah,
suits.
You guys look good. Are you going to a meeting, or is this just like the general confidence-bearing attire that is necessary to...
Ooh, look at that inseam.
That's my name in there.
Oh, that's very nice. You can't see it, radio listeners, but it's very nice. We assure you.
So, never forget, why don't you pass me one of those glasses? So, what did you pour for us today?
Brian, tell him about this delightful concoction of wine.
It's a biodynamic wine from France. We were pouring it at the Feast Conference, actually, on Friday. And
cheers.
Cheers, everyone.
And
it's 100% Syrah.
Yeah, it's from the Rhône, which is a region in the south of France, the south right-hand corner of France. It's the Rhône is divided by the Rhône River. There's a left bank and a right bank, and this wine is from the right bank, from a plot of land called Creux Hermitage, which is the French love to name all of their regions and give, you know, there's a classification system that sort of dictates how and what you're supposed to grow and where you can grow it and why you can call it what you can call it.
I don't know if you guys saw last week or 2 weeks ago about the farmer in France who had his entire crop stolen overnight.
Yeah.
What?
Happened in Washington, too. Someone else.
Overnight, thieves came in, stole, I'm going to say, 5,000 acres worth of grapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And pretty much just everyone accepted that it was a rival winemaker.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. Look, I feel for the guy, but that's, I mean.
That's insane.
What grapes you must have to pull a move like that.
I mean, really.
Like, I think it was only worth like 40 grand or something, too. I don't know what it was like. Why would you go through 40, all that?
40,000 rubles. Right. I don't know. I mean, on the cover of Wine Spectator quite a while, maybe a few months ago, the chateau owner of Romanée-Conti, it was a similar sort of thing. There are people who try to break into these prized vineyards, you know, where when they come out, like first growth, second growth, Bordeaux and Burgundies, you know, they sell for $600 a bottle, $1,000, $1,500 a bottle. So the grapes, incredibly precious. Like it's a wild west.
I think this wine underscores a movement that's kind of coming about in the last few years, certainly much more strongly. The natural wine movement, mm-hmm. which, you know, these are grapes that are organically harvested. They don't really, if you're going for the true definition, you're not affecting the juice at all, adding any sugar or anything.
It's very hands-off, right? It's actually a controversial topic. What is natural wines? This is sort of the kind of topics that we like to explore in our events. What is a natural wine? A lot of people have a definition of what that is. They let it, the yeasts naturally sort of that are on the vines and that are in the grapes will eat the sugars, as opposed to adding man-made yeasts that produce a particular kind of flavor or desire a trait that you're looking for to come out of your wine. The whole process is a little scary when you just let nature take its course, but people think that's how it ought to be.
So while that's a little dorky, we kind of, it's a little nerdy into the wine world. We try to take our events and make it so it's accessible and everyone there, a crowd of 50 people in a room having a standing social tasting can all talk about it and cumulatively learn.
So as you find your favorite wines and you promote them and they get popular, do they grow in, I guess, price as well as the popularity is? Because I've heard that some wines, it's like, oh, I used to remember when I used to be able to get this wine for $8 to $10 a bottle. Now that everybody wants it, it's $10 to $15 and then $15 to $20. I think that's another intimidating thing about wine is that you go, how does this cost so much? Like what, how does the price get judged?
I think there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, even for our events, like I don't know, people need to get past this a little bit as far as, I mean, I don't typically buy bottles more than $30 in cost on when I go out, but occasionally I will. It does sting a little bit. You're like, oh, but then you open this and you drink it and it's incredible.
Right.
It's about this amazing experience.
You don't have to. What we like at our events, we try to have wines that are, we start on the low end and we go up high often. We'll start with a $10 bottle of wine. And you'll see that this wine tastes incredible, or maybe it doesn't. It's always an objective. It's like, do you like the taste of it?
Oh, this really is a $3 bottle of wine.
Exactly. Right. We'll pour $3 chuck and just sort of hand it to you and go, what do you think of this?
I went to a wedding and their whole wine was red and white $3 chuck, and it was sort of just, you go.
Now, okay. If you hadn't known what that was, I mean, you probably would have been like, wow, this is fantastic.
But there are a myriad of options out there for less than $10. They're incredible. In fact, I know many people in the wine industry who, work for retail or distributors or whatever, and they insist that you can just easily find amazing things.
Price tends to dictate what's available. So if there's something in small quantity and it's hard to get, you may find an expensive wine. Case in point, there's a lot of really tiny producers, say out in California. We have a wine that we actually served very recently called Mueller Family Vineyards. Now, they make 116 cases of wine a year. That's like nothing.
That's nothing.
It's nothing.
And it's the first bottle they ever produced.
Yeah, exactly. And it's delicious, but it's $48 a bottle. Now, that might be out of somebody's price point, but if you want like an experience, then you might shell out a few extra bucks for it. However, you can also get plenty of wine that, you know, there's 90,000 cases of.
So when you do these events, accessible, the thing about wine that I would say from my end is that it's a risk. You know, I don't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you're spending $15, $20 maybe on something that you have no idea if you're going to even like this. Or even more so, like, if this is even what you should be liking. How do you guys teach?
That's exciting. I mean, how many other risks do you take in your life?
I take a lot of risks.
Right.
So, I get up every day, don't I? Right.
Ride your bike through New York City. Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, but that's exactly the sort of thing we want to tackle. So you get to a wine store and you've got all of these wines in front of you. And how do you choose? How do you know what to choose? Well, you start to understand, France typically produces maybe wines that are lighter in style. California will produce wines that are heavier in style. So we try to give these very general concepts so that you go, okay, you know what, I prefer heavier, oaky, or, you know, just delicious meaty cabs from California. So boom, you just forget about Spain and Portugal and Italy and everyone else. You go right to California.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you have a bunch of events coming up, not just in New York. I know that you guys are going to the other coast. The left coast, if
the
you
left
will.
Coast. Mm-hmm.
Where can our dedicated followers find you guys in person?
Hmm. Well, I mean, we have a mailing list. That's how we operate. A lot of these underground things operate that way. But we are doing a San Francisco event next week. It's going to be for a esteemed rating organization that rates restaurants. So it's kind of a interesting
We can mention their name.
Juxtaposition.
Why not?
They're French.
No, we can. It's all been out in the news. We're doing the Michelin Guide release parties.
Which was an awesome party that we were all involved with in New York.
Exactly.
Next morning, though.
Yeah.
I kept finding you guys for drinks. And you're like, oh, try this. I was like, okay. That's how you do it, except you got to try. But how do you teach people without them from getting, like, totally hammered?
Well, yeah,
we do heavy pours sometimes at our events, but
smaller crowd.
Do you guys have spit buckets at your events?
No.
No, everyone has.
All right, so
we live dangerously.
So San Francisco,
and then we do the Chicago thing. But in between that, we're doing another New York event in Gramercy soon. We, you know, all of our events are in private homes, spaces that we find, and so that's going
to
be
unique venues. We try not to do them in restaurants or bars if possible. Just sort of in naturally occurring space that was built by somebody that's not so natural.
And sometimes it's on a weekend, weekday. Like, I think next one's going to be November 10th. So,
right.
And we'll send out an email about it a little.
We're also going to be at the Brooklyn Winery, which is a very cool place. And if people don't know about it.
I do not know about that.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Urban Winery opening up, has opened in Brooklyn on North 8th Street and Driggs, essentially. It's the similar concept is a city winery. So it's an urban winery. People can go. People can make their own wine there, and they have a beautiful wine bar. We're going to be there doing events. They have a lovely event space. You can go see the whole winemaking process, talk to them. There's a winemaker there.
Wow.
It's the greatest place, the Brooklyn Winery.
There's like three, where the Dinner with the Band studio is, there's like three wine places that have just opened up in the last, or two wine places and a tasting room is opening up in like a month or so.
In Williamsburg.
It's blown up.
It's crazy.
Corks are popping.
So, what's the website again?
TheNobleRot.com.
And the mailing list, if I just want to email you, is?
Just info@TheNobleRot.com.
All right. Well, Johnny, Brian, always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll be drinking wine soon.
Yeah, we hope to see you in San Francisco or Chicago.
We're trying for Chicago.
All right.
San Francisco's a little too soon.
Cool.
But I guess last question is, what is your least favorite wine adjective? You can start with your favorite and then go least favorite.
My least favorite thing is when people smell the cork to try to figure out what's going on. So it's not an adjective, but you can't really figure out what's going on with the wine until you taste it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's hard to say that because like everyone's going to describe something in a different way. Like I think we some people say petrol for white wine, but you some people also say what you were like car tire. Well, oh, of course, cat pee. Cat pee, which is descriptive, but
it may smell like it. But do you really want to think about that?
Yeah. No, no. At no point do I ever want to think about cat pee
or you know, or a Mustang peeling off from a gravel road. That sometimes that kind of like comes out in the wine.
My favorite description though is when they say, you know, this wine tastes a little bit like Johnny Cigar.
There it is. Or wine to make you... Anyway, all right. Johnny, Brian, always a pleasure. I want to thank you guys for coming. NobleRot.com.
TheNobleRot.com.
TheNobleRot.
Yep.
Their parties are epic. And I would say legendary at times as well.
Yeah. We always have music, just like you guys always have music.
Yeah. And anyway, so check them out. Get involved. It's a lot of fun. We have Surfer Blood coming up next. But first, we have a little bit of a music interlude. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Stay with us.
We want your information. We will do what we must. But not here or in front of people or on the phone. We're not all blood-sucking leeches, for we all have families too. But that don't mean that we really love them, or that we don't. 'Cause I can't love you, and you can't love me. But I can love you, and you can love me. Yeah.
to say it, but I come apart, it seems.
Give me a sign, I don't have the time to keep changing my mind all day.
I Love Monsters, Keep Me Guessing, on Snacky Tunes.
They're going to be playing at Spike Hill this Friday as part of CMJ Week.
About 10:30?
Something like that. We are deep into CMJ.
And before that, we had Center of the Universe, Built to Spill, which I know we got some fans of that song in-house. And then started off Defenders of the Universe by the Deers. So, JP Thomas, welcome, a.k.a. Surfer Blood.
Two of the Surfer Blood. The other guys are out there eating pizza.
Yep.
Eating your pizza, JP.
That's fine. Know. Let him eat.
Let him eat. Well, you're a vegan, right?
I am, yeah.
So you don't care.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No.
Eat away.
Yeah.
Eat away. So welcome to town. You guys got here Monday? Is it Friday? Saturday?
That was definitely Monday.
Yeah, that was Monday.
And yeah, we played a show at Cake Shop on Monday. It was pretty awesome.
Top Secret.
Love that.
Top Secret. Who was it for? Which 10 people got to...
It was for our friends. To do it. Yeah, I mean, basically we announced it an hour before we played and... had about 40 people show up, and it was really a lot of fun. Brought us back to last year. We played that venue like 8 times last year, so.
It's such an awesome venue.
It's so good.
If you're
in
the first 4-row people, it's an awesome venue.
Exactly.
It's not, it could be better rigged.
Yeah, it's like the worst, best venue. I love it.
Yeah. I loved it when they used to have like the records in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could like flip the records, eat some cake, drink some coffee, and then go downstairs and see the show.
So cool.
Yeah, it's great. And then you played at Webster Studio last night for MTV.
For MTV, yeah, that was cool. We were like being filmed the whole time, so it was kind of like even like in the dressing room and stuff. So that was kind of weird. But.
Huh? Really, really intimate.
What's a Surfer Blood dressing room look like?
Oh, man, it's just a mess. You know,
they're all different, and usually we're not there. So
right.
Yeah, but yeah, it was kind of interesting. We're basically playing each floor of Webster Hall over the course of CMJ. We're doing the actual room tonight, and then tomorrow we're playing upstairs apparently somewhere.
And you're not supposed to talk about the time we're playing the other room, but
okay.
Secrets. So let's talk about last year's CMJ and this year's CMJ. And I mean, you guys blew up over the last year, no other way to say it. So how does it feel coming out as being like the buzzed band of last year into one of the more like anticipated bands of this year?
Well, I mean, we kind of know what to expect at this point. You know, so that's kind of cool. Last year we kind of like went in like having no clue what we were getting ourselves into, and we played 12 shows and we all got the flu and almost died, but we died and we're born again, I guess.
Kind of. You know, I feel like I'm a little more stressed this time around, only because now that we've been doing this for a year straight, people are expecting us to be, you know, much better.
Yeah, we can't just suck anymore.
Yeah.
You can't just have like a bad show and just like kind of.
We have them though all the time, but
yeah, I think we're like much harder on ourselves now than we were back then, kind of.
I mean, that comes with success of anything.
Yeah,
you like hold it. The standards get raised,
just a little bit.
Do you enjoy having to only play half a dozen shows and sort of getting taken care of versus the like grab and lug and flu sickness of 12 shows of CMJ?
I mean, obviously,
yeah. I mean, it's nice, but at the same time, you know. Those were amazing times, and I actually, I don't know, when I hear about bands who are in the place that we were a year ago, I feel really excited for them, because to me that's just like that's the best time, you know. I mean, this is what it's still amazing for us, and this is all we want to do, and we're so happy we're here. But that excitement when it all starts happening is just, it's like no other.
Yeah, that was like one of the craziest experiences. I didn't care how sick I was. It was,
yeah,
it was just absolutely
cough up a lung.
It was fun.
Play the next song type
there's
of thing.
There's something about that entering the unknown and feeling that positive force behind you. Especially since, the blogs and that can be so vicious and turn on a dime at times. It's nice to know like when everyone's behind you at that very first moment.
Yeah, it was so like weird, like the first time we got torn apart by the press. Like we just had no idea what to expect, and we were like, is it something? Is it the way we look? And I mean, did we play a bunch of bad shows or something? And now it's kind of like, you know,
I don't even look anymore. That's another nice thing now. I haven't even Googled our name in a couple months, you know?
Yeah, it's nice when you just realize that's all that is a moot point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to have, I guess, nice words said about your band.
Oh, yeah,
it's also
for sure.
Just like, there's a point where people just hate for hating's sake.
For sure. Oh,
absolutely.
I have my mom emailing me all the positive press, and I think she kind of filters out all the bad stuff. You know?
That's great. It's nice. Mom filter, right?
Yeah, mom filter. Thanks, Mom.
Thanks. All right, so let's get into your first song. What are you going to play for us?
Let's do Fast Jabroni.
Yeah, do Fast Jabroni.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Great. Well, you are listening to Surfer Blood live on Snacky Tunes on heritageradionetwork.com. Take it away.
All right. Yeah, that works. Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come pick me up in the morning. I know you probably thought about it too. Otherwise, I'll never leave my oven. My arms and legs ever grow soft with you. Come pick me up in the morning, and we can find a hole to crawl into. We're still pretending to be lightweights. My arms and legs ever grow soft. Wow, ooh, ooh. Behind his smile is nothing. Long hair's a signal to the wandering eye. Anytime I'll leave my coffin gladly. My arms and legs that would grow soft and die. Someone broke into my heart, or beat it into my head. Several hours to drive home, or fall asleep instead. So think it over, just think it over. Don't let me down, just think it over. Just think it over, I'll be around. So bad that entire time.
Awesome. Fast Jabroni, Surfer Blood Live. So coming to New York, what do you guys like to eat? Do you guys have a favorite place when you swing in here to town?
We are looking forward to going to True Food and Wine.
Oh, Pure Food and Wine.
We're gonna hit that up.
What place is that?
My mom's a raw foodist. Oh, and cool. She kinda got us into it. I mean, none of us are 100%, you know, raw food. But
I was for about 1 month, and then I just went back to being a vegetarian.
Yeah, but we, I don't know, it's basically this like 5-star raw restaurant, which is kind of ridiculous. I'm a vegan myself, but I'm not necessarily into like the mock foods. It's just,
so you don't like the fake chicken leg?
No, no, I think it's disgusting.
And I actually, think you might be one of the first vegans I've ever met who's like, who's admitted that.
No, it's. I mean, it's always odd to me that people could hate chicken, be vegans, and then devour products that are tasting like chicken.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not, you know, I miss chicken. I smell it, and it, you know, I crave it, but it's just the like that soy taste is just so disgusting to me.
It usually just tastes like nothing with salt.
Yeah, it's really it's really salty. It's really sugary.
If you want salt, eat an olive. They're delicious.
I won't say what place, but there is this famous vegan vegetarian fake food place down in the West Village that my friends always drag me to during CMJ.
What's it called?
I won't slander it on the air.
Oh, sorry. That's right.
But it was like without fail every year, my vegan friends. And the first time I went, I was just blown away because I was like, how did you do this with texture? And then the second time I went back, I would go, this is sugar, salt, and super processed.
Yeah. Fried and
it's gross. It's like a sponge soaked in MSG.
And there's no health benefits.
That's true.
I mean, I should say that's even, it might be even worse for you because it's just so processed and so gross.
I think it's worse, probably. So I think you're better off eating meat.
A lot of people eat tofu for, you know, quote unquote protein, but I mean,
yeah, man, this stuff's bad.
American tofu gets, some of it gets chemically washed and things like that. Like, it's just, it's not good. So what do you guys, you know, being a vegetarian and being a vegan on the road, you know, we've talked to bands like Yacht about this, about traveling across America and across Europe and eating.
Are they vegan as well?
They're vegan as well. Nice. How do you eat on the road? And I don't mean that like, oh my God, how do you do it? What do you do to make yourself not have, you know, mundane routine of eating and food that's you're looking forward to?
You know, it's actually, I don't know, kind of the fun part about traveling and trying to eat vegan is you have to really try to find food. So you're not just eating out of boredom or anything. You have to really plan it.
Every day is an adventure.
Yeah, exactly. So there's this website called Happy Cow, which, you know, it's kind of cheesy, but at the same time, it's like any place you can imagine, it lists the vegetarian restaurants. So, for example, we were in Japan and just got on a computer and hopped on that website and got to take a train around Japan and look for vegan food. It's fun, you know?
It's kind of amazing. Do you guys eat meat or is it?
Oh, no. There's one. Three of us are vegetarian. Tom is vegan, and TJ will pretty much eat anything. So
we call him the Schnitz.
Schnitz.
Because he loves schnitzel. I'm convinced if you cut him open, just schnitzel will fall out.
But to his credit, he's his family's like his dad like lives in Hamburg. So
okay. Yeah.
So I remember going to his house one time, opening up his fridge, and realizing, oh man, there's nothing here that isn't an animal product.
Like, right.
Right.
Liverwurst on a cracker, like schnitzel.
You know, it's the internet has pretty much made it much easier.
Yeah,
I think even just, I would say even as a meat eater going on tour, having the internet resources, because you get dropped into a city and it's like, where are we eating?
Oh, yeah,
not
yeah.
Just junk, because no one looks forward to fast food. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, if you eat,
I just don't eat it. If it comes down to that, it's just like, I'm just gonna starve myself. You know?
Yeah, it's like, all right, are there crackers and like lettuce somewhere?
Yeah, find a Kroger.
No, the Google Maps is the best because you can just search anywhere you are. You can just search vegan and
oh, it's all that specific now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. So I guess the problems that, like, even a few years ago when we had fucked up Damien, he was vegan, but when they went on tour in Europe, he was like, I just had to break it because there was nothing to do. Now, just like a handful of years later, it's like, yeah, I'm in, you know, Switzerland, sitting on top of a mountain, vegan, great.
It's also everywhere now.
Yeah.
It's becoming such a huge thing.
It's great, though.
Which is nice, yeah.
It's really nice. Do you guys cook a lot on the road? I know you stay mostly probably in hotels now, but do you ever get a chance to do potlucks?
You know, luckily, I mean, we were lucky enough to be on a bus on this tour. I don't think that's going to happen again for a long time, but it was super easy to just go to some co-ops and stock up on stuff and cook it on the bus. It was really nice. Healthy.
How was the clean dishes? Use a cleaner type of policy, or was there a pile?
It was
such a mess, yeah.
Because we don't trust the water on those buses, you know?
Yeah.
So we would just have to, like, wash them in, like, sinks at rest stops and stuff.
Tell you, man, buses are toxic. It's like,
really?
Yeah, because there's, I think there was, like, 7 or 8 of those plug-in air fresheners that like every 10 minutes they missed.
Right.
Just like chemicals into your mouth. And
our driver was like convinced that, like, I mean, the bus probably didn't smell great, but he was like really paranoid. But I'm like, oh man, we have disgusting chemicals floating everywhere.
And
actually the funniest thing that happened though was we were in Atlanta and somehow we parked like right under on top of a beehive. And bees kept getting in the air conditioning vent.
And our driver was asleep in a hotel, so I was basically, Marcos was like extreme bee catcher. He was having a lot of fun catching them, but it all started, there was one in the bus, and we decided to do the pet bee thing where you catch it and you put it in the freezer. They go into hibernation. And we took it out and we like put it out on the table and it was asleep all curled up, and we were just like, oh my god, we can't do this. This is horrible. Like, we just look, it's so helpless.
Yeah.
So we just like put it down outside in the sun, and like sure enough, within 10 minutes, there was maybe 15 bees in our bus. And we got them all out, taped up all the air vents, put like a bunch of scotch tape all over the air vents, and it was pretty hilarious. That
We're like, we're gonna come back, because we went out on like, we went to Five Points or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, when we come back, there's gonna be like 50 bees in here. It's gonna be
nice little honey treat, right?
What's that? Sorry.
Nice little honey treat for when you came back.
Yeah, it's gonna be a little honeycomb.
That'd be so.
All right, let's do one more. Let's rip another song off, and cool. We'll come back. We'll talk. What do we have coming up next?
This is Catholic Pagans.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Give me your G real quick. Yeah.
Cool. All right, here we go. Surfer Blood, live on Snacky Tunes, heritageradionetwork.com. Thank you to Fairway, Roberta's, Jack Inslee, RecTech. Here we go.
Never could be still for long, and I could never hold a job. Coupled with a weakness for cocaine and liquor, not much a candidate for love. When I met you, I broke the mold. I fell apart and combed my hair. Whiskey shakes for 10 whole days, stayed off the seats at night fools. I don't wanna be a Catholic pagan now that you're here. We counted on each other for love, survival, and everything else. Please don't padlock your parents' bomb shelter, or fill her up with dust and ash. A landfill mecca for burnouts and listless adolescent sour mash. Well, I'm not saying that I've earned love, but I could really use it now. So turn out the lights over and over and over, we'll figure out the rest somehow. Oh, I don't wanna be your Russian bride, not anymore. Barack Hussein Obama would have a field day if he knew at all. So whoops, had to go.
Surfer Blood, live on Snacky Tunes.
Man, I really messed that one up because our bassist is out there making faces at me while we're playing.
Yeah, that's the game you gotta play here. You gotta like you know, rise. I mean, I always am curious on like bright days. They can't see us.
Oh, really?
But we can see them.
So you guys are. This is where the show is always.
Yeah, this is our weekly our weekly radio show.
Nice.
Snacky Tunes. I think this is episode like 56 or something.
Sweet.
We've been doing this for a little bit of time now.
Awesome. So, it's cool. So, cool little room.
Yeah, so you guys got a couple of shows coming up. You guys hitting on the road, right?
Yeah, we're playing Webster Hall tonight. Yeah, and then we're playing Philadelphia on Saturday?
On the 22nd, and then we come back and we do Bowery Ballroom.
Oh, and you're playing one of the best parties in the world, Making Time.
Yeah. I hear so many great things about it.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, I feel like we've talked about it on this show a bunch of times, but we've been going there for 8 years now, because we're originally from there, and just...
We've gone to the same party for 8 years.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Actually, that's actually not that thrilling to say. But it's amazing, and the people there are really awesome and really get into it in a way that New Yorkers kind of just don't. I mean, you know, that's just kind of how things are here. But there, people really just let go and get wild.
Awesome. Yeah, so, last time we were there, kids were just going insane.
Where'd you play last time?
What's the name of that place?
I don't know. I always forget. It was such a cool room, though. It was like a bar upstairs.
Fight, that night,
Barbary?
The Barbary.
Yes, Barbary. Oh, yeah. That is our favorite place to DJ. John Redden. That place is great. And I just love how it's like you want to get people dancing, just put the bar right next to the dance floor. Yeah. So people buy a drink and they turn around and they're right on the dance floor. Yeah, it's like awesome. The most genius design.
So in honor of CMJ and of bands that you're excited about, who's on your list to see this week?
We don't really have time to see any bands.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, our friend The Doers are playing a lot. They're super great. They're actually just opening for our tour with The Drums. I wanted to see Salem. We talked about that, but I missed that because we were really busy. I cannot believe I missed Yellow Tango last night.
Yeah, I missed Yellow Tango last night. It's
such a bummer. But we were playing this other show.
I think they played Brooklyn Bowl.
Yeah, for free.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Brooklyn Bowl has, they had MIA for free a couple weeks ago. I mean, they've just done some amazing big name free shows, and that place isn't just nuts. It's just not that big.
Yeah, it's a really super awesome. Cool place, though.
Yeah.
It's cool if you can talk them to give you free lanes and shoes. So.
Yeah. I will up the ante.
I'm really happy to see you guys playing with The Drums. We're a big fan of John and those guys. Those guys actually started their first few practices in our loft.
Really? Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And it's really nice to see them grow, and they've actually been getting a lot of really good press.
Oh, yeah, they're doing great. Yeah. I mean, this tour, you know, it was a co-headline tour, but I feel like it was more about them because this was their first U.S. tour. So I was just really stoked for them. It's great.
What's it like going out, that whole idea of, like, picking a band, not sort of randomly, but, like, lining up your lives with the whole other group and going out on the road with them?
It's cool. We've never had a problem, so.
Yeah, it's super. That was one thing I was looking most forward to about being in a band, is just being able to pick bands you like, and especially bands that need it, you know?
Yeah, it's so cool to see The Doers. Like, they did the second half of the tour with us, just to see them, like, every night, okay, let's load our stuff up into this Enterprise van, and we'll see you at the next city. And yeah.
Right, I mean, but you guys are, like, less than a year removed from that situation.
It's true, yeah. Well, you know, for us, it feels longer. I mean, I know it's ridiculous to say this, but it has been a gradual thing. So like I can't believe it's only been a year since the last CMJ, but
yeah,
you know,
definitely
we've been on the road nonstop, so
yeah.
And when do you get home next?
After this we fly back on the 24th, which unfortunately is TJ's birthday.
Oh,
so we won't get to spend it together, but we need to get some rest. We're going to Europe with Interpol next month.
Amazing.
Which is really
that's awesome. that's one way to spend November.
Oh yeah, it'll be great. They You know, and they actually, we found out they handpicked us, and some of them were at our LA show, apparently, and really enjoyed it, so I'm really, really stoked.
That's a nice pairing. It's like, yeah. It's a nice juxtaposition of your band and their band.
It makes total sense.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
They're a bit darker, but, you know, definitely, yeah, both in the same vein, for sure.
Great. Well, we want to thank you guys for being on the show today and taking time out of a busy schedule, and we know that you need to get some food in you.
I'm starving.
As long as they didn't eat it all, but
I see slices of pizza and salad on the table.
Slice over there, but why don't we have you guys, you know, take us out with one more song?
Cool. Yeah, definitely.
We just want to give a shout out to Fairway Markets, to Roberta's, Jack Inslee, Rec Tech. We are Finger on the Pulse. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. Blondes will be in studio next week.
And thank you to Johnny and Brian from the Noble Rot, thenoblerot.com.
Do you want to do it?
They got a lot of good things coming up. And, you know, hey, can we self-promote one sec? Come to LeBain tonight. Punches is playing at 3 a.m. for the Bond showcase, and then we're playing the Hype Machine party tomorrow at 8.
Yeah, it'll be fun. CMJ.
CMJ. Cool. Never stops. Always starts. All right, here we go. Surfer Blood one last time on Snacky Tunes. Take it away.
JP is going to take this one himself.
Will you play the chords during the solo part? All right, I'll try not to suck. That's okay.
I've waited too long to have you hide in the back of me. I've cheated so long, I wonder how you keep track of me. You can never be strong, you can only be free. And I've never asked for the truth, but you owe that to me. I've entered the game of bricks with knives in the back of me. Can't call you or on you, oh, now when you're attacking me. Well, I'll move up on the house, weep to water the trees. And when you come calling me back, you call out my disease. You can never be strong, you can only be free. And I've never asked for the truth, but you owe that to me. And I've never asked for the truth, but you owe that to me. I've never asked for the truth, but you owe that to me.